Please stand as you're able to do so. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life, you are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean. Quench our thirst and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of new creation. And I invite you to turn that way and read the yellow letters. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water, where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen.
Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to live one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings.
First reading is from the 7th chapter of Acts. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 31 responsively with me. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that is hidden from me, for you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The second reading is from the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you to go to prepare a place for you? That I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen You do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? That I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Should have kept Mike up here to read that one. It was rough. And we'll just leave that one there because we're preaching on Acts today. We are all witnesses. Jeff, can you show us our first picture of the day, please? We are all witnesses. So this up here on the screen, this is a brilliant piece of advertising. Several years ago when LeBron James came back to Cleveland, you know, before he left again, Nike put a literal building-sized advertisement up on the side of, you know, a building. What made it building-sized? Across the street from where the Cleveland Cavaliers play basketball. It is a humongous black and white picture of LeBron James. Of course, there's that little Nike swoosh up there and the phrase, we are all witnesses. As in, LeBron James is a once-in-a-generation basketball player, and he is here in your city playing right across the street from here. We all get to witness him make history night after night, right now, in person, in real time. We are all witnesses to the greatness that is LeBron James. And then it happened. I don't even like basketball or watching it that much, but in 2016, I watched and witnessed the greatness of LeBron James. The NBA Finals were tied at 3 games apiece. There were 2 minutes left. There were 2 minutes left in the final game, the one that would decide the championship, and the score was tied at 89. The Golden State Warriors got a fast break, and it was a surefire layup. There was no way they weren't going to take that 2-point lead. And then out of nowhere, LeBron James soars through the air, and he takes this would-be layup, he smacks it against the backboard, and it bounces into his teammates' hands. The Cavs go up by 4 points, and the Golden State Warriors don't score again, and the rest is history, I guess they would say. This play is called the block. It has a name, and unlike me and probably all of you, it has its own Wikipedia page. The block has its own Wikipedia page. The Warriors, as I said, didn't score again, and LeBron, this Northeast Ohio native, brought Cleveland its first title in 52 years, and to this, we are all witnesses. But there's something interesting about witnesses, and Nike knows it. They are brilliant. We, as witnesses, we are not just nouns, as in people who witness things. Once we witness someone like LeBron James or something amazing like the block, we don't keep that to ourselves, do we? We witness to it. That's the brilliance of this Nike ad. It implies that as we witness LeBron's greatness, we will then go witness to his greatness. We will tell others, did you see the block? And as we witness to LeBron, and as witness of LeBron spreads, Nike, of course, knows that witnesses will go buy a pair of LeBron's Nike shoes, which are called, and I am not making this up, LeBron Witness. The shoes are called the LeBron Witness. And as we witness others witnessing to LeBron by wearing the LeBron Witness, we too will buy a pair of LeBron Witnesses, and we, of course, perpetuate this cycle of witnessing. Somebody needs to count. How many witnesses do we have so far? There will be more. What we witnessed in this short reading from Acts today, chapter 7, was the hurried end of a sham trial of the soon-to-be-martyred Saint Stephen. But what got him martyred in the first place? The false witness of false witnesses, which I think we all know is a clear breach of which commandment? 8. Wow, we need to do some catechism courses in here. I hope I'm right on that, by the way. I didn't look it up. From Acts chapter 6, Stephen, brimming with God's grace and energy, was doing things among the people, unmistakable signs that God was among them. But then some men went up against him, trying to argue him down. But they were no match for the wisdom and spirit when he spoke. So in secret they bribed men to lie. We heard him cursing Moses and God. That stirred up the people, the religious leaders and the religion scholars. They grabbed Stephen and took him before the high council. They put forward their bribed witnesses to testify. This man talks nonstop against this holy place and God's law. We even heard him saying that Jesus of Nazareth would tear this place down and throw out all the customs Moses gave us. So the chief priest said, "What do you have to say for yourself?" So now, after the false witnesses bear false witness, the chief priest says, "Stephen, now's your chance. Serve as witness for yourself and witness against these witnesses." And at first, it's going really well. Stephen starts by witnessing to the promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons. Jacob, by the way, Israel, you know, confusing. Stephen witnesses to Joseph being sold into slavery in Egypt, finding favor with Pharaoh, and Joseph then saving his family from the famine. He witnesses to Israel then falling into slavery in Egypt and their rescue at the hand of God through Moses. And then he witnesses to Israel's, for the next, I don't know, hundreds of years, falling away from God, first in the wilderness by worshiping a calf idol, and then names their continued sin against God across generations, which led to the Babylonian exile. Stephen is just spitting facts to this high priest. Can I get a witness, he's saying. And they're all looking at him like you just looked at me. But this is Israel's history, as the high priest knows it. He can't argue with Stephen here. But to this point, he has not witnessed to his own innocence against these charges either. He's simply witnessed to what God has done for Israel. And here, Stephen continues witnessing to God, but he begins laying the groundwork for his defense. So he had just talked about everything of Israel's history, right? And then he says this about the temple where God lives and resides, quotes around that. "In all this time, our ancestors had a tent shrine for true worship, made to the exact specifications God provided Moses. They had it with them as they followed Joshua, when God cleared the land of the pagans, and still had it right down to the time of David. David asked God for a permanent place for worship, but it was Solomon who built it. Yet that doesn't mean that the Most High God lives in a building made by carpenters and masons." And this is where he gets really smart. He says, "The prophet Isaiah told us, 'Heaven is my throne room. I rest my feet on the earth. So what kind of house will you build for me?' says God. 'Where can I get away and relax? It's already built, and I built it.'" So, this is a smart move. He calls in the prophet Isaiah to witness on his behalf. And we see what he's doing here. So Stephen is accused of speaking against the holy place, the temple. So he tells of a time when there wasn't a holy place. God was happy living in a tent. And even though the temple was built and destroyed and then built again, Stephen witnesses to Isaiah's witness. "You think you can build me a house, but I already built it." Isaiah is saying that all of creation is God's house. And Stephen is just still spitting facts at this high priest. God became incarnate in Jesus Christ and inhabited creation. God continues to inhabit creation now through the Holy Spirit, and all of God's creation is God's house. And this is where Stephen really needed a good lawyer. Because the lawyer would have said, "The defense rests, Your Honor." So Stephen spoke the truth. He witnessed to God and Jesus Christ, and he didn't back away in fear either. But then he really stepped up his witness. He says, "And you continue so bullheaded." I don't think this is going to end well. "Calluses on your hearts, flaps on your ears, deliberately ignoring the Holy Spirit. You're just like your ancestors. Was there ever a prophet who didn't get this same treatment as me? Your ancestors killed anyone who dared talk about the coming of the Just One. And you've kept up the family tradition. Traitors and murderers, all of you." That's bold. "You had God's law handed to you by angels, gift-wrapped, and you squandered it." And we know what happens next. Mike read it for us. The witnesses that were brought in to speak against Stephen stoned him to death in front of a very well-known witness, in many ways, Saul, who is also known as Paul, as in the writer of many of the books in our New Testament. We are all witnesses. Not as good as Stephen, of course. When the chief priest says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" Stephen spends the next, and I counted, 52 verses not serving as his own witness, with his life hanging in the balance, mind you, but as witness to the God of Israel and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I guess that is why we call him Saint Stephen. And now is where I'm almost obligated to say, but don't really need to say it, don't try this at home. As in, you don't have to be a martyr to be a witness to Jesus Christ. But I doubt if any of us is inclined to take our witness to the point of martyrdom, are we? I mean, maybe the more relevant question for us are we even inclined to witness to Christ at all? I think most of us, if we're honest, would have to admit that when we're not in the safety of our fellow Christians, we shy away from witnessing to Jesus, don't we? I mean, I'll count myself in this group. Just this week, I was getting tested to figure out why my brain doesn't work right. Don't laugh, it's for my epilepsy. And the nurse, just making conversation, says, "So where do you work?" And I'm like, "Oh, I hate this question." I'm like, "Well, I'm in school to be a pastor." I trail off because I don't want her to react to it. It's not exactly the courageous witness of Stephen, is it? But the thing is, we witness all the time, and we're really good at witnessing. And we don't even realize that we're doing it, so long as it's the right subject. You don't believe me? You users of that horrible platform that I hate, Facebook, raise your hands for me. Liars, there's more of you. Every time you like or react to or share or post, you are witnessing to something. What is it that you are witnessing to? For me, when it comes to sharing that service project that the Cub Scouts are doing onto my personal Facebook page, I don't hesitate. Click. But when it comes to sharing my witness to Christ, so I make these ponderings and I put them out on the church's website, safe over there. But then when I look at it, I'm like, should I share it to my own Facebook page? I hesitate. I mean, I have friends that I've known since high school, and they don't know me as the guy that's sharing these videos talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. I don't want these people to think that I'm some weird Bible-thumping Jesus freak. But that can drive for the Cub Scouts that we're doing to make money for that local family, that's easy to witness to. I mean, that makes me look good even. Click and share. Out in the world, we witness to all kinds of stuff. Our clothes witness for us. I'll witness to the Marvel franchise and the Star Wars. Mike, here, he's going to witness, for some reason, to Michigan football. And most of the rest of you normal Ohioans are going to witness to Ohio State. It's okay, you grew up in Michigan. And if you're a fan of Cleveland sports, even if you're not a fan of LeBron James, you will witness to LeBron and the block because, after all, this once-in-a-generation talent made a play that has its own Wikipedia page to take this once-proud, now-cursed sports city to its first title in 52 years. And to that, we are all witnesses. Jeff, can we get our next picture, please? Ooh! Ouch! Until we aren't all witnesses. 2 years after the block, the championship, LeBron left Cleveland again. And this picture says it all, doesn't it? It's that banner. And it's only half there. It's only half there. This building-sized billboard has been down for 5 years now. And Cleveland is now 7 years into its next 52-year championship drought. Giant LeBron billboards, that pair of LeBron witness sevens, even Nike, despite their brilliant advertising execs. All of these things will pass away. Facebook, thank God, will at some point pass away, just not soon enough. This world and all the worldly things that are in it and of it will pass away. And yet, through this Bible, because of its Bible and because of its witnesses, like Stephen the martyr, like Saul, also named Paul, like Isaiah and the prophets, like Peter and the apostles, because of their witness, we know that Jesus and only Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. The witnesses point us to the way. They show us the truth that Jesus is the life. And how do we know that Jesus is the life? Because are you all ready? You're all ready, right? Because Christ is risen. Oh my gosh, that was terrible. Let's try this again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. To this we are all witnesses, and to this we must all witness. And for that, amen, and for that, and for all the witnesses past, present, and those witnesses still to come, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in the hope and joy of resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
Creating God, you show your steadfast love through mighty waters, towering mountains, verdant fields, and arid deserts. Protect the earth's diverse habitats from the forces of pollution, erosion, extinction, and climate extremes. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Mighty God, your Spirit guides us into all truth. Give wisdom to world and local leaders and organizations as they begin, build, or renew relationships. Strengthen leaders and aid organizations in areas needing to be rebuilt following conflict, unrest, or natural disaster, including Turkey, where they continue to recover from an earthquake, including Sudan, where there is a worsening humanitarian crisis, and in Ukraine, as they continue in the midst of war. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You prepared the disciples for the ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community leaders, give them a spirit of peace and a heart that burns for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Loving God, you make your home among us. Abide with refugees, those experiencing homelessness, those fleeing war and poverty. Pray for all who are sick, especially Marcella, Linda, Delbert, Karen, Janet, Joy, Stephanie, Jean, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma. Those that are touched by and those that support First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts.
Scott.
We also pray for all healthcare workers who care for those we have named. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Assuring God, you accompany your people amid uncertainty and change. Uphold the people of this community who have recently moved, changed jobs or schools, retired, or going through transition of any kind. Lead us in your ways. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of peace with one another. At this time, we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for the gifts of the earth, in the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one, in the pouring of this wine, pour out in the service of the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of your Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and Saint Stephen and all the witnesses, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of the resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe into us new life. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
And now with your holy ones of all times and in all places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun, moon, and stars, with your entire creation, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
And as you taught us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, all earth as is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses, as we are for those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table is ready. All are welcome. All are invited. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our lives together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for a few announcements. The biggest announcement is this insert that is in your bulletin. If you were not at the service, if you weren't there last Sunday at our joint service, please take a look at this. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read it in its entirety, according to that case. On Wednesday, April 6th, representatives from the church councils of all of the five CCLB churches, including ours, met to discuss our congregations coming together in a more formal way. We have been doing a lot of things together over the past several years that have established a strong fellowship among our congregations. We have worshiped together during Advent, Lent, and Easter Sundays. We have had Bible studies and VBS together. All of our congregations are facing a harsh reality. Our worship attendance on Sunday mornings is declining, and our membership is growing older. And something that COVID taught us is that we have to be creative and do things differently for the church to continue in its witness to the gospel and its ministry to God's people. Because of these factors, the leadership of our church councils are in agreement that now is the time to consider consolidation and bring the congregations together into a single parish. Now, consolidation is a scary word. Consolidation into a single parish does not necessarily mean into one single location. Consolidation can mean many things. And there will be, as we continue, our meeting decided decided that during the next month we'd put together a task force consisting of two members from each congregation who will explore the next steps. As time goes on, we will keep you informed, of course, and you will be required to approve all decisions that are made. We ask that you would engage in prayer throughout this process. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give us discernment and direct our ways. Pray that we would be open to this new thing that God is inviting us to be a part of, that we would continue to be a strong Lutheran witness and presence in the southeastern part of Crawford County. So I speak for the entire church council when I say our goal will be transparency, including you in any decisions that are made, and just getting your feedback and thoughts as we move forward into this process. I'm going to leave that there. We can talk more about that at a later date. Something that's coming on that's very, very pressing is on May 20th, we have our Spring Safety Day here. There is a meeting. Please help me with the dates.
Wednesday.
Volunteers.
Wednesday at 6.
This Wednesday at 6. So please come here at 5. Eat a meal. That's free. You can donate, but you know, it's still free. And then at 6, there will be a meeting for volunteers. If you are in any way inclined to volunteer, show up. I can assure you that we have a place for you to volunteer. All right. So, with that, I think we're ready for a blessing. You guys want to bless before you go, or are you like me? Oh, also, if you're on the internship committee, my internship ends very, very soon, and it is awesome. I graduate in like 2 weeks, and tomorrow I have an approval panel for moving into the next phase of something. So anyway, pray for me for that. It'll be great. What we got going on tonight? There we go. All right. So endorsement panel interview tomorrow. So please pray for me to not shove my foot into my mouth and say something that I shouldn't say, but possibly will. With that, please stand for the blessing. We will have a noisy offering during the closing hymn. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Amen.